So Danny comes in about 2 weeks ago and says, hey, just got a note.
See a guy with a fake head?
Not that. Got a note saying, would you like to interview Steve Martin and Martin Short, who were coming to town this Saturday? And I think it was when we were in Austin.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. And we were like, hell yeah.
Are we playing this or are you playing
I'm
it?
I'm playing it.
Okay.
And so I'm super fired up, and then you connected me on the email.
Correct.
Because you went out of town.
I was on vacation. Yes. I was on mini vacay, bruh.
Totes. And so I'm talking to this handler, this girl named Katie, and we're trying to set up a time, and then she's asking me for the number and all this stuff. And so we're going through this whole rigmarole. And
I hate girls named Katie.
Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite names. Really?
Awful.
But God, Katie Pritchard.
That's like number five, top five for me.
She's an exception.
Okay, good. And so we set up a time, which it moved a couple of different times, and we finally settle on recording this on Monday at 1:40. So tell Mike, get up here at 1:40, and so we're here. Well, it's already weird because in their mind, they've been prompted that since I'm on the email, that I'm doing the interview.
Yeah.
And that she thinks that I'm doing the interview. So it already, right out of the shoot, the interview starts out disjointed and wonky, and it's already hard enough because it's two dudes on a phone.
Not together.
In separate places.
Yeah.
And they're comedians.
So they got bits.
They're trying to one-up each other left and right, but good Lord, this is Steve Martin. Matter of fact, I didn't even tell Gordon and Craig about this because this is Craig's hero. And I felt awful.
That we were getting.
Yes.
Getting him. Has he been on with us before?
Job.
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Now Martin Short has.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had Marty on, but we've never had Steve Martin on. This is Steve Martin.
I never thought we'd have Steve Martin on under any circumstances.
No. And I was nervous. Oh, my God. So anyway, here is how it all started.
Corby, you're on with Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Hello, Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it Colby? Sorry.
It's Corby and Mike.
I'm Mike.
Corby and Mike.
Corby and Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, Corby. If I had known that, I wouldn't have taken the call.
No. You got to let that prejudice go.
Yeah.
Get over your thing about mics, man.
Yeah.
Well,
just a name.
Kiddos, you have a big...
Do you mind if I call you Colby?
No, Steve, you can call me whatever you like. Whatever feels comfortable for you, that's what's important here.
Cobby works, okay. Too.
Yeah, Cobby, Colby, Corey...
Corbly.
Corbly, any of it is fine.
Okay.
All right, so you guys got the big show coming up. An evening you will forget for the rest of your life. Right here in Dallas,
yeah,
Fort Worth.
That's right, Corporal.
at the Verizon...
I found that to be very funny,
Corporal.
By the way, in hindsight. That's right, Corporal.
Corporally. It's like the one way no one's butchered your name yet, and he found it.
I know it. It was so quick, too.
You will forget for the rest of your life, right here in Dallas,
yeah,
Fort Worth.
That's right, Corporal.
at the Verizon Theater in Grand Prairie. Now, I've read a couple of things about this show, and most interesting to me is how this all came together. Is this just like an extended version of you guys hanging out together, and this just came to fruition that way?
No, but that's the way it started. And now it's actually a professional show that we can legitimately charge money for.
As long as you're profiting.
Right. Even though when it started out, we still charge money.
That's true.
No, we were first asked to do the close the Just for Last Comedy Festival in Chicago. And it was just a straight interview, just, you know, for 90 minutes we would interview each other. And we found that our chemistry, after thousands and thousands of dinners and knowing each other so well for so long, was so easy with each other. We thought, this is a good instinct for potentially a great show, and I think we have one.
It's really the only thing that got me back on the road again was the fun of doing it. And by the way, also performing with the band I work with, the Steep Canyon Rangers.
Yes, this is going to be music. This
not
is going to be film
Marty.
Clips, conversations between you two about your scene in showbiz, right?
A little bit,
yes,
but you know,
sketches.
It's not a trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
We do a tiny bit of that, But mostly it's us, you know, doing material and having fun and doing bits.
Was it, did you guys know each other at all before you did Three Amigos? Or were you friends at all?
No. Oh. I met him briefly backstage once that he wouldn't remember because he was hosting the new show in 83. And then I went to his house in the spring of 85 and picked up a script for Three Amigos. That's when we first met.
Yeah.
Yes, and I looked around his house and I said, how could anyone like you have gotten this rich? Because I've seen your act. And that kind of was the tone for the rest of the...
Hey, wait a minute. Maybe this show is going to get canceled.
Did you what a Norm laugh that was, man. Whenever you were, and I don't mean to kiss your butt here, Steve, but whenever you were like the biggest thing in comedy in the 70s, did things like this, was it kind of a, did it become a pain in the ass, stand up for you?
Well, first of all, I don't consider it kissing my ass if when you say, remember when you were big.
Is there anything better than the Steve Martin delivery?
It's number one.
Nobody can top that comedic sensibility.
Boy,
that he has.
You hear the influence on Junes Miller?
Oh, God. I know.
The stamp is so on him.
I know. It's amazing.
Consider it kissing my ass if when you say, remember when you were big. But, you know, that was a whole other lifetime and a whole other me. And I did eventually flame out on it. But I only flamed out because I felt I had, excuse me, something else to do, which was movies.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
So how long had you guys known each other before you realized that you do have pretty extraordinary chemistry and wanted to do something together? Did that all start, I guess, with Three Amigos, or did you realize it then, or how did that come about?
I think it happened pretty quickly. I mean, the interesting thing for me is I didn't know Chevy or Steve, and they knew each other a little bit. But, I mean, in the film, the idea was that we were three best longtime friends. Mm-hmm. So there was a natural, for the product, instinct to say, hey, let's hang with each other, let's have as many dinners, let's play cards as much. And out of that came, by the end of the film, we made that determination. We didn't want to let, you know, each other go from our lives.
And, you know, I liked Marty instantly when I first met him. And my greatest disappointment was finding out that he was already married.
Yeah, it wasn't cool to be gay back then, you know?
No, it wasn't. The whole world, we weren't as fluid then as, you know, we are now.
You guys pay attention to Saturday Night Live at all? Like modern day?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, watch it every week.
Is it?
Yeah, I love Belushi.
No.
He's the best.
No, Jim Belushi hasn't been there for ages, Steve.
Oh, he hasn't?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, that's part one. So here is matriculating on to part two.
And what are we listening to?
This is Steve Martin. This is Steve Martin on the ticket.
Along with Martin Short, and they're playing Verizon Saturday night.
Yes. Is this a type of stuff, though, with this political climate where, I don't want to say it's a layup, but you still have to get out there and have talented people perform the situations or the sketches, but is this not what every comedian and performer dreams of, a climate like this where you can go on for an hour and a half and just go to town?
Well, you know, it's a little tricky because, you know, when you're out performing live across the country, not everybody thinks the same. If you're watching Colbert, you kind of know who your audience is. But we're not trying to be divisive.
I think we represent an equal thing. I mean, look, you know, Steve is this big Trumpite, and I now have certain apprehensions. So, but we don't bring that to the stage.
I've always thought of you as like a Trump doppelganger, Steve.
Yeah, I guess it's the hair.
Do you guys have any distinct memories of being in this area in Dallas-Fort Worth? And mind you, we had David Crosby on not too long ago, and he told the story of getting busted for cocaine. So whatever story you have has to be better than that.
Well, we're actually trying to avoid getting busted for cocaine while we're in Dallas. Yeah. So,
yeah.
It's smart.
But, you know, we need it before we go on.
It seems like a good idea. I've played Dallas many times. I've played with the symphony and different children's charity events. And it's a spectacular, beautiful, gorgeous city with great audiences.
Yeah, I played there many times, too. And I love the Dallas-Fort Worth area because, you know, the Kimball Art Museum and the Amon Carter Art Museum are two of the best museums in the United States.
Yeah, they are. They are spectacular. That's the pride of Fort Worth. You guys are both.
I was going to say that, but I don't go to galleries.
Yeah. No,
I mean Marty. That's why I go to those museums because I know I won't.
Why do you
Marty
go to galleries, Steve? Why do you go to galleries?
I said I go to museums during the day because I know I won't see Marty there.
That's nice.
You guys are music nerds, and I mean that in a good.
I love the fact that they're still impressed by one another. Like, they're laughing at each other's jokes on the phone, and I don't think it's fake either. Like, nice, you little son of a bitch, you.
Museums during the day because I know I won't see Marty there.
That's nice.
You guys are music nerds, and I mean that in a good way because you're talking to a couple of nerdy music guys. Did you guys, was this an early age thing where you both fell in love with just with music in general?
I fell in love with popular singers of the day, but not rock singers, like people like Tony Bennett and Frank and people like that, and learned to sing in my attic, just listening to the and hearing the phrasing and hearing how they held notes and placed notes. And so,
also, I wish I had grown up like that, listening. I'd have a better voice. But I grew up, really, I was thinking how much Chuck Berry had influenced my life, because when I was 12 or 13, I heard the song School Days for the first time, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, the perfect circle had walked in. It was just a fantastic experience. But then later, you know, like 3 or 4 years later, I really got into bluegrass and the banjo and folk music.
As long as his influence on your life is limited to musical, that's a good thing. That's a real good thing.
Exactly. I didn't want to go there, but, you know.
Not
well,
me.
I will.
Did you know, back to SNL, circle back there real quick. Did you know when you started doing Ed Grimley, and I know that was an SCTV thing first, but did you know that it was an instant hit and that people were, like, freaking out over it?
You kind of felt it after the first sketch, but you didn't really know it, and the audience... You can't assume people who know something from SCTV now know SNL. So I remember when he first made an appearance, the writers thought it would be a big recognition applause, and there was nothing. But then the second time I did it, it clearly had been successful.
And Steve, for you, how many people probably to this day still think that you were a cast member? You were on there so much.
Yeah, I never was a cast member, but... I liked my role, which was just sort of walk on periodically rather than do it every week. It's a hard show to do. It's exhausting.
We have time for one more question. Sorry to interrupt.
Steve, did you have any bids?
By the way, Corby.
Yes.
I only hear one voice. There's two guys there, right?
Yeah, there are two guys here.
Let the other guy ask a question.
Maybe
go
I'm
ahead.
Just not able to distinguish between the two voices because of my age.
They're
I've
very
had a problem
different.
A lot, too. So let me ask you this, Steve. Did you have
no,
any...
No, one of them has a very unmemorable voice.
Yeah, that's me.
I don't know which one, though.
So did you have any characters on Saturday Night Live that you knew were going to be a big hit or that you thought were going to be a big hit right away like that, like Ed Grimley?
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah.
You talking to me or
I'm talking to Steve.
Marty.
Steve.
Okay. Well, you know, when Danny Aykroyd and I did the two Czech brothers, we were rehearsing and laughing so hard all week, thinking it was so funny. And we did it, and it was fine. And but I had no idea it was going to become a thing until the next time we did it. It was just very much like Marty's story, where suddenly the audience goes crazy, and you go, oh, what? What happened here?
Well, I will tell you, in my
you
little...
You can't really predict.
Yeah, I get that. And in my little world, I was kind of hoping you would go there because people absolutely could not wait until you were on Saturday Night Live again after that first time to see if you guys did that and kept it going. And you didn't let us down.
Well,
man.
It was a great time, I must say. Doing that in the late 70s was really, really fun time to do it. You felt like you were at the center of the universe.
Well, the show is this Saturday. Excuse me. The show is this Saturday night at the Verizon Theater in Grand Prairie. And it is Steve Martin. It is Martin Short. It is an evening you will forget for the rest of your life. Fellas, good luck with it. We look forward to seeing you.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you know if I have a problem because we're at the Verizon Theater, but I'm on T-Mobile? Is that a problem?
Yeah, nothing will work.
You're going to have to check your phone at the door.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I'll get a Verizon phone and bring it in.
All right, boys. Have fun here. We look forward to seeing you. Yeah,
thanks, thank man.
You
appreciate much. It.
Can't believe they did that.
Bye.
Thanks, Katie.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You hang up first.
You hang up first.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, I'm hanging up.
Okay, bye. You there?
That's it.
I'm never leaving.
Right. So we'll talk later. I can't think of anything else. Just want to put in that line about the murder ballot. But I put in the line about intermediary, which I think is so funny now. More
good.
I think
so you do it. You do in the script you
yeah,
got.
The monologue, right. Yeah. All right. I'll see you in a couple of days.
Adios.
Bye. Didn't know you were still on there.
Okay, bye.
There they are.
I can't believe they did that.
I know.
Steve Martin
is doing phone interviews.
It means a lot to me.
And you know what? He was into it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it wasn't just like, well, yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah, we're playing here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Seemed very cool with
it. And that's kind of the antithesis of what I've heard about him. But again, that's in public. If you see Steve Martin in public, he hands you a card that says, yes, you have just met Steve Martin, instead of saying hi and taking a selfie with you. That's his bit.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to talk. But I guess when he's on, he's on.
Yeah. Or when he's got to hype the gig a little bit.
Yeah.